Welcome to the Left Brain Artist Podcast. I hope you're enjoying these mini business episodes that I post on Fridays. I've worked with artists now for over a decade and have created art shows and calls to artists and given numerous talks about art business. Most artists swear that they are 100% right brain thinkers, meaning they've got a great creative side and that's why they can make such wonderful art. But what I've found is that every one of them truly works their left brain as well, or their more logical and business-oriented side. Most of these tips I talk about in my business episodes have come from successful artists. They've figured these things out for themselves, or they've read an article, or they've learned from a fellow artist. Don't think you can't learn to take some steps to increase the efficiency of your business. You can, and that's what I hope to help you do with these business episodes. On my episode number 19, my conversation with Roxanne Evans Stout, she talked about all the places where her artwork goes. She's got pieces in a couple of galleries. She submits pieces when she responds to call to artists. She makes pieces as samples for her workshops. And she uses artwork for the videos for her online classes. It's a lot of artwork to keep track of. She gave some very good tips for how she keeps track of her art. And I'll talk about those and a few more here. What we're talking about is your art inventory. The list of what you have created, the details about that art, and where it's going or where it's been. First, let me talk about why it's important to have an updated art inventory. If you're an artist who is trying to sell their work, you need to know what is available to sell. You've gotten past just hanging it on your walls or wearing the jewelry you've made or using the ceramic pots you've made, and you've given pieces out to friends. But you'll get to the point where you have too much for your own use, all your friends have received artful gifts from you, and now you've got art stored in closets, on shelves, and maybe even taking over whole rooms of your house. It's time to start selling. There are so many places where you can sell your art. I won't talk about how to sell here, but let's talk about the kind of opportunities you may find for your art. While the ultimate goal is a sale, often your art will be shown somewhere, at a gallery, in a retail store, at an art festival, in a contest. It may not be sold and it may come back to you. But while it's gone, you'll need to keep track of where it is, how long will it be there, and when you need to go to pick it back up. So let's talk about the first step. How do you keep track of it once you have made it and it's a finished piece, ready to sell, but it's in your home? You'll want to first start out by numbering every piece. Your numbering system can also use letters, like starting with an N for all your necklaces and B for all your bracelets, or starting with an A for acrylic paintings or C for collages. You also could include a number that tells you which year it was completed. That's important to know when you enter a show that requires no artwork over 3 years old, for example. Or it can be useful when analyzing how long a piece has sat in your inventory and hasn't been sold, or when you want to retire designs over a certain age. You may create a numbering system like this, A03117, which could tell you that it's an acrylic painting for the A, the 31st piece you made that year, and the year was 2017. But use whatever works for you. But don't mistake the numbering system in your inventory for the title of your piece. When you call a piece finished, you'll usually want to give your piece a title. Titles are expected when it's a piece that's to hang on a wall, like a painting, a photograph, or an assemblage. They're also expected for sculptures, whether on a wall, a pedestal, or freestanding. Giving something a title makes it unique and identifiable, and it makes it easier to keep track of your artwork. Okay, and as a side note, I've got a real pet peeve against artists who call their pieces untitled, or worse, untitled number 7. That just kills me. And you may disagree, and you may have a wonderful, amazing reason for calling something untitled, but I don't buy it. You're an artist, and you're in the business of being creative. So take some time to be creative and come up with a title. I would use the rule of thumb that if artwork is to be displayed with a title card, then it should have a title. Now, you don't have to go crazy if you don't want to. For example, if you make ceramic pots, then you could differentiate them by calling them Teapot Number 10 or Raku Bowl Number 5. Chances are your pottery won't have individual title cards for each piece. But I sold jewelry at art shows for a while, and I actually came up with a title for each piece. Each one had a tag with a price, so on the back of the tag, I wrote the title. I tried to be clever or interesting. One of my favorites was a necklace with a long, thin pendant, and I called it Dangling Participle. I thought I was so clever. Another I called Desert Dreams, because the colors reminded me of the desert. You see what I mean. It definitely made them more interesting when potential buyers read the tags. We've talked about the title. Now let's talk about the other things you'll want to record, like the media, the size, and the price. The media could be the materials used, or it could also mean the method that was used to make it. For a 2D piece, keep in mind that many people use the term painting, whether it's an oil, acrylic, or watercolor, but also if it's pastels or mixed media. Anyway, you'll want to note what materials were used, what type of paint, pencils or pens, fabric, other fibers, paper, or found objects. Note that for your information, you'll want to keep track of everything you use so you can properly talk about the piece later. But when it comes to the title card information submitted for a show, you don't have to include absolutely every material that was used in the piece. You may want to include the substrate that was used for the piece too, like if your photographs are printed on metal or a collage is done on wood. If it's an obvious base, like canvas for a painting, it's not necessary to state that. For sculptures, you'll want to include the materials used as well, like found objects, wood, metal, ceramic. Media can also mean the techniques used, such as raku or sagar for ceramics, or traditional or digitally enhanced for a photograph, or if a painting is an original or a print. It's also important to keep track of the size of a painting. Measure it once, write it down, and be done with it. There are so many times you'll want to know what size a piece is. You don't want to keep going back to your tape measure every time you need to know. For example, a show may require a minimum or a maximum size for their submissions. You also may have a maximum size you can transport in your car. If you are showing it framed, you'll want the measurement to include the frame. Galleries will have a certain amount of space they want to fill, or various walls that are so wide that they'll want to know how wide your pieces are. I always record measurement as height times width. It's not standard in that order, but that's the way I mostly see it. For 3D pieces, you may want to record the measurements of the base so you'll know what size of pedestal you'll need, or you'll want to record the weight of the piece so you know if it can hang or should be placed on the floor or on a base. The next thing you'll want to record is the price. Now, I can do a whole episode just talking about pricing your work, and I probably will in the future, but for right now, I'll just go into a few basics. What do you want to receive for your art? How much time did you put into it? How many years' experience do you have making this kind of art? There's so many factors that go into the pricing, but come up with something and write it down. Keep in mind, though, that that price will change depending on the commission that a gallery takes. For example, if you are selling a piece from your website, it will have a certain price. But if you are selling it at a gallery that takes 40% of the price as their commission, you're going to want to increase that price accordingly so that you make money on the sale. But whatever you come up with, write it down. If you are giving 5 pieces to a gallery and you've increased the prices accordingly, you should list those pieces and their prices on the contract you sign with the gallery. That way, there won't be any argument about the sales price and what you should be receiving. Okay, we've talked about the title, the media, the measurements, and the price. Those are the bare minimum details that you want to record for every piece of art that you've completed. Now, how will you keep track of all this information? While your artwork is still at your home, meaning before it's gone to a gallery, you'll make a list. For some people, that's a spreadsheet. And don't worry, I know I've just said a very left-brain word. Don't panic. A spreadsheet is just a fancy name for a list. It can be handwritten. It can be Excel or Microsoft Office. It can be like a file on your laptop. Or it can just be a Google Doc on your phone. Or a file you put in an app like Evernote. But use something that you're familiar and comfortable with. Set it up with columns. So the first column is the title. The next column is the media, and so on. Or the first column is a number if you've done some kind of a numbering system too. You can have multiple lists, Like a jewelry artist would have one for necklaces, one for bracelets, one for earrings, one for pendants. Or a ceramic artist can have one for vases, one for bowls, one for mugs. You see what I'm saying? Now, let's talk about when your artwork leaves your home. This is very important because you need to keep track of where everything is. Why? So you get every piece back, or you get paid for anything that doesn't come back. As you start to apply for different shows, and you put artwork in shops and galleries, and you apply for calls to artists, you'll need to know how much artwork is available for a show and when. Here's an example of that. Let's say you make collage art that hangs on a wall. You've given 20 pieces to Gallery A and 30 pieces to Gallery B. Your agreement is that when a piece sells, you'll bring another piece for them to replace that piece. And you've committed Gallery A's pieces through August 30th, and Gallery B's will stay up until December 31st. Then you see a call to artists for a pop-up gallery that opens October 1st. You can submit up to 5 pieces. Do you have that? Are they the right size? You'll be getting any unsold pieces back from Gallery A at the end of August, so if those are the right size and type, you can use some of them for the October 1st show. But do you need to make more? And do you have time between now and the start of the show to make more? If you have to make more pieces, you may have to submit photos with the application earlier, like September 1st. So can you make more pieces by then? This might have been a complicated example, but I'm trying to explain why you'll need to keep track of your pieces, where they are, and what is the time that they're available for something else. Therefore, you'll want to regroup your inventory based on where the pieces are located. In my interview with Roxanne Evan Stout, she said that she keeps photos of all her artwork in folders on her computer. And I really think this is just so simple and genius the way she's doing this. So when you take a digital photograph, it'll be given a name, like IMG2741. IMG just means image. You'll want to have good photographs of all your artwork. So let's say you have a painting called Blue Flowers. You may take a dozen pictures or more to get a good photograph of that painting. Then you'll pick a couple good ones, maybe one of the whole painting, one up close of detail. Then you'll want to change the name of the photo file from IMG2741 to Blue Flowers 1 and Blue Flowers 2. Now you've chosen Blue Flowers and 4 other pieces to go to a gallery show on August 1st. What Roxanne suggested is that you just create a new photo folder on your desktop, label that folder with the name of the gallery, and move those files to that folder. So now you know that all the photos that are in your folder titled Continuum Gallery on your computer are for paintings that will be in the Continuum Gallery for a certain period of time. And that tells you that those paintings are currently not available for any other gallery. But can they be submitted for another show? Sure, but you do hope that something's going to sell. So be careful submitting the exact same paintings from one show to another show right after. Plus, it would be much better if you submitted something different anyway, so you're not just putting the same pieces out at shows over and over. Another thing you can do is label that gallery folder with the date that you need to pick up the paintings after the show ends. That's the date they will truly be available again. And if you call the folder Continuum Gallery, October 3rd, then that will be a visual reminder of when you need to pick them up. Sometimes you will be sending art out without a specific end date. You might lend some pieces to a restaurant to display on their walls, and it may be informal as to when you'll pick them up. First of all, try not to make it so informal. You don't want to just provide artwork on an unlimited basis to a place. Try to get an end date, or at least give yourself a date where you'll be evaluating if you want to continue hanging your artwork there. If the artwork is safe, it's being seen, your name is prominently displayed on each title card, or at least in a frame at the front of the restaurant, and you have no other commitments for your art, then it's fine to leave it there. But you really should be in the business of getting your artwork seen at multiple places. Now let's talk about your art inventory once a piece is sold. Is it important to keep track of it once it's sold and gone? Absolutely. You'll want to keep track of who bought each piece and be able to figure out if they've bought more than one. Because those people are your collectors. And those are the people you want to invite to your shows and opening receptions. They've shown you that they like to buy art, and you want to give them an opportunity to buy your art again. You should have a mailing list that you keep adding to, so you can tell people about your shows. You can even send individual emails targeted to your buyers. You can say something like, "I hope you're enjoying your painting blue flowers. I recently created a new series of red flowers I thought you'd be interested in seeing. I'm showing them at the Happy Gallery starting this Friday, September 1st, or something like that. Another reason you'll want to keep track of your sales is so you can analyze what is truly selling. If you discover that no one is buying watercolors, but everyone is buying your oil paintings, you need to figure out why. Are you pricing your watercolors wrong? Are you pricing your oils too low? Are your oil paintings more serious and your whimsical watercolors don't suit the shops that are showing them? You also may discover that you're selling lots from Gallery A and nothing from Gallery B. Do a little research on your own and determine if one gallery just isn't promoting your work, or your art is in a bad location in the store, or the store just doesn't get any foot traffic. Analyzing your inventory a few times a year can give you great insights that can help you adjust things and hopefully result in increased sales. You also may want to keep an inventory of your unfinished pieces. For example, if you have a solo show coming up or a big art festival where you'll need a lot of pieces, you may have a goal of finishing a certain amount of art by a certain date. Keep the details about your works in progress in a separate inventory and your photos in a separate folder. There's no reason why you can't commit an unfinished piece to a future show, but you need to remember that it does need to be finished and you need to stick to the deadline. Like anything, there are a million ways to do things, and you may have a completely different way of keeping track of your inventory that works for you. The key is, do something that works for you. If you're old school and want to keep track of everything in a three-ring binder, then do it. Any way is better than no way. And really, a three-ring binder would probably be ideal when it comes to large sculptures where you want to keep track of notes on how they were made and how long it took to make it. If you'd like to tell me how you keep track of your art inventory, send me an email. My email is sredmond75@comcast.net. And Redmond is R-E-D-M-O-N-D. You can also find my email on my website. I post a business show every Friday, and I will include any suggestions on an upcoming episode. If you'd like to find out more about the artists that I interview on Wednesdays, I've got show notes for every episode on my website, which is suzanneredmond.com. The show notes include photos of the artist's artwork and links to their websites and social media. The music on my podcast comes from the group Squire Tuck. The artists that I interview are artists I've met or I've admired their artwork for a long time. Thank you for listening. I'm Suzanne Redmond, and this has been the Left Brain Artist Podcast.